الحمد لله رب العالمين وصلى الله وسلم على محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين حياكم الله ومرحبا بكم my noble brothers and sisters. Inshallah, we're going to continue with our seminar, and today is day number two, and بإذن الله تعالى we're going to finish the hadith today with our noble brother Sheikh Samir Abu Abd al-Rahman, and tomorrow inshallah is going to be the sisters part, where they're going to be taking the female scholars of Islam, and that's going to be at 6 o'clock to 7:30. Inshallah, we're going to pray Isha around 7:25, and then after Isha, we're going to continue with the second part of the hadith. Also, for the sisters' question and answers, then on the board downstairs, the whiteboard, there's a link to a website where they could write their questions. And bi'idhnillahi ta'ala, when it's question and answers today, we'll answer the questions. The brothers, you guys can put up your hand, and our ustad over here, bi'idhnillahi ta'ala, will answer your questions.
Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Wassalatu wassalamu ala nabiyyana Muhammad wa ala alihi wa ashabihi ajma'in. Amma ba'd. We continue our studies of the hadith of the seven whom we have the shade of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on the day of resurrection. Seven individuals who will be honored on that day with the shade of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on a day when there is no shade except for His. And we know that the narration is the narration of Abi Hurairah radiallahu anhu. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, سَبْعَةٌ يُظِلُّهُمْ اللَّهُ فِي ظِلِّهِ يَوْمَ لَا ظِلَّ إِلَّا ظِلُّ إمام عدل وشاب نشأ في عبادة الله ورجل قلبه معلق في المساجد ورجلان تحابا في الله اجتمعا عليه وتفرقا عليه ورجل دعته امرأة ذات منصب وجمال فقال إني أخاف الله ورجل تصدق بصدقة فأخفاها حتى لا تعلم شماله ما تنفق يمينه ورجل ذكر الله خاليا ففاضت عيناه. Muttafaqun alayhi, that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he says, seven people will be shaded by Allah under His shade on the day when there will be no shade except His. The first one, a just ruler. The second one, a young man who has been brought up in the worship of Allah, meaning he worships Allah alone sincerely from his childhood. And the third is a man whose heart is attached to the masjid, meaning he offers the five congregational prayers in the masjid. And the fourth one, two people who love each other only for the sake of Allah. They meet and part in His cause only. And the fifth one, a man who refuses the call of a charming woman of noble birth for illegal sexual intercourse with her, and he says, indeed, I am afraid of Allah. And the person who practices charity so secretly that his left hand does not know what his right hand has given, meaning nobody knows how much he has given in charity. And the seventh, a person who remembers Allah in seclusion, meaning whenever he is alone and his eyes flood with tears. So we begin our lesson this evening seeking the help and the aid of Allah Azza wa Jal بِشَيْءٍ مِنَ الْمُرَاجِعَةِ, with some review. We have seen that these individuals, their actions, they're all different, and their circumstances likewise vary. But there is one aspect that gathers them all together, and for this reason they are mentioned with this great virtue. They are mentioned in this narration, and they have achieved this great virtue. Who can mention that for us now? As-sabr. That they are striving upon patience. They are striving upon patience from the greatest means to establish the rights of Allah Azza wa Jal and avoid violating those rights is to be patient. In our previous class we discussed that patience is different types. Who can remind us of them? Three types from one aspect and three types from another aspect. Now.
Patience upon obedience.
You
want me to go, keep going?
Yeah.
Patience on staying away from disobedience, and patience with challenges and calamities.
Ahsanta. Sabrun ala ta'atillah, being patient upon the obedience of Allah. Wa sabrun an ma'siyatillah, and being patient in staying away from the disobedience of Allah. Wa sabrun ala aqdarillahi al-mu'lima, and having patience in dealing with the painful decrees and calamities that befall a person. There is another aspect of patience likewise that's also in three categories or three divisions. Naam.
Sabrun billah.
Wa sabrun lillah. وَصَبْرٌ مَعَ اللَّهِ. Here we have just, we have very similar expressions, but each one of them is very different. We have similar expressions, yet each one of them is very different. And the only difference in them, in two of them, is just a change of one letter. We have صَبْرٌ بِاللَّهِ with a ba. We have صَبْرٌ لِلَّهِ with a lam. You see that? B and li. This one letter here changes the meaning greatly. صَبْرٌ بِاللَّهِ, this means? To be patient by the help of Allah, by way of Allah. So meaning that one, he must realize he cannot be patient except if Allah helps him and grants him patience. So therefore he will strive to be patient along with seeking the aid and help of Allah Azza wa Jal, knowing that he cannot do that if his Lord does not help him. If his Lord does not help him. And this is from the meaning of La hawla wa la quwwata illa billah. This is a statement of istiana, kalimatul istiana. So one, he must realize that whenever he's striving to be patient on the obedience of Allah, whenever he's striving to be patient and leaving the disobedience of Allah, whenever he's striving to be patient dealing with the challenges and the hardships and difficulties of life, he must strive to be patient all the while seeking the help and aid of Allah upon that way. Sabrun lillah. Now if from a ba to a lam, sabrun lillah. What's this one mean? For the sake of Allah. Lillah, yani haqqun lillah. This is a right of Allah as well. He'll do it for the sake of Allah. He'll be patient for the sake of Allah. So therefore he'll be patient for the sake of Allah, not for any other worldly gain or praise, so that people will think that he is so strong or courageous and the likes like this. Or he can carry hardships and difficulties. He's strong, it doesn't affect him. Life, the challenges in life and hardships and calamities and loss of wealth or loved ones does not bother him. He's so strong. He's so strong and the likes like this. So no, he will not do it with this foul intention. Rather, he will be patient for the sake of Allah, seeking the reward of Allah. Believing that this is a means to seek the pleasure of Allah. And had he not been patient, then this would earn him the anger of Allah. And yasbir lillah. He'll be patient for the sake of Allah. Wa sabrun ma'a Allah. Now it went from a ba to a lam, now to ma'a. This is a dharf. First it was harf jar, now it's a dharf. But it's different. Sabrun ma'a Allah. Being patient with Allah. What does this mean? With the rulings of Allah, with the al-ahkam, bi-ahkamillah, sabr ma'ahkamillahi azza wa jal, al-shar'iyya, al-diniyya, wa al-kawniyya, al-qadariyya, to be patient with the commands of Allah, with the decrees of Allah, with the rulings of Allah, the legislative religious rulings, and likewise the universal decrees, the universal and decreed rulings that befall. So one, he must be patient with these affairs. Patient with these affairs, and that goes back to that other aspect, patient with Allah azza wa jal and his commandments by performing them in the manner prescribed. And patience by leaving off the prohibitions entirely and avoiding them and staying away from them. And all the while between that, seeking forgiveness for one's shortcomings and one's mistakes. And likewise, those calamities that befall one, he must realize that this is the command of Allah and be patient. And seek the help of Allah Azza wa Jal to lighten those affairs or to remove them entirely. So this aspect here, this action of worship here, this is something that they all have achieved. And in this manner, they have reached this high status. There were other points likewise that guided them as well. It could be included in the issue of sabr, but to mention them directly. مخالفة الهوى. يعني مخالفة الهوى. To oppose one's desires. To fight one's desires and oppose them for the sake of Allah. Those desires that are contrary to the command of Allah. So this requires that patience, but this is the reality of it. The reality of that patience is that one, he must oppose his desires. His desires called him to do that which is displeasing to Allah, to disobey Allah, to fall short in the obligations, or to perpetrate the prohibitions, or to become upset and reject the decrees of Allah Azza wa Jal, or to be patient showing off, and the likes like this. All of that which has preceded, it must be in this manner, مُخَالَفَةِ الْهَوَى. The hawa wants to have praise, wants to have ease, wants to have its own way, and the legislation is contrary. So one, he must oppose his desires that are in contradiction to the legislation for the sake of Allah. And in this manner, one will reach this high status. One will reach this high status. There was one more issue that we discussed likewise, and that was? Mujahadatun nafs. Mujahadatun and nafs. Striving against one's soul. Striving against one's soul. We mentioned the scholars that said this is four categories, four ranks. What was that? Naam.
Strive against your soul to gain beneficial knowledge, implementing the knowledge you know, helping others by teaching and advising with your knowledge, and being patient until death.
Upon all of that. Being patient upon seeking that knowledge, being patient upon applying that knowledge, and being patient upon guiding others, directing others, advising others, and the likes with that knowledge. Allahumma barik. Allahumma barik. In our previous class, we've seen that the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he began these seven with the Imam Adil. What was the wisdom behind that? The wisdom behind beginning with the Imam, the just Imam, the just ruler. Uh-huh.
Because of the great authority he has?
Because he has a great influence on people.
Uh-huh.
And this is why Ahlul Sunnah pray for the ruler.
Ahsant. Okay.
The benefit to the community that he brings.
Uh-huh, the great influence, like the brother said, his authority is encompassing. And he brings a benefit that affects the society. So whenever he is upright, the rest of the society will be upright. So then he has a great reward for all of that. So this is a great benefit. A great benefit. So we learn from that the principle of the people of knowledge. They mentioned that the most beloved of the people is the one who is most beneficial for the people. So from the most beneficial of the people for the people is the ruler whenever he's just. Whenever the ruler is the ruler, whenever he is just. There were other benefits likewise, but we suffice with this, and we continue with what the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam he mentioned, and he says, وَرَجُلٌ قَلْبُهُ مُعَلَّقٌ فِي الْمَسَاجِدِ, and a man who his heart is attached to the masjid. And in this wording here has come in more than one wording. It has come مُعَلَّقٌ فِي الْمَسَاجِدِ وَمُعَلَّقٌ بِالْمَسَاجِدِ, and the meaning is similar, and to some extent. But مُعَلَّقٌ فِي الْمَسَاجِدِ, like the people of knowledge, they mentioned like the lights or the lanterns that are hanging in the masjid. His heart is like hanging in the masjid. His heart is hanging in the masjid. مُعَلَّقٌ فِي الْمَسَجِدِ, فِي الْمَسَاجِدِ. His heart is hanging like the قَنَادِيل, like the lamps and the lights that are hanging in the masjid, meaning that he loves the masajid. The other word, مُعَلَّقٌ بِالْمَسَاجِدِ, and his heart is attached to the masjid. His heart is attached to the masjid. So a man whose heart is attached to the masjid, here in the translation, he offers the five obligatory congregational prayers in the masjid. The five obligatory congregational prayers in the masjid. And in this particular translation is from the translation of Dr. Muhsin Khan. And I use that intentionally because I want to remind the people the importance of using the reliable translations. So with regards to the Noble Quran, with regards to the Noble Quran, the reliable translation for the Noble Quran is the translation of Dr. Muhsin Khan. And that is because he did not translate it alone. Rather, along with him, and many people are unaware of that, but the reality is along with him was Shaykh Taqiyuddin al-Hilali al-Maghribi, rahimahullah ta'ala, and he was a great scholar of the Sunnah. Shaykh Taqiyuddin al-Hilali, a great, great scholar of the Sunnah, a great scholar of the Sunnah, and a caller to Da'wah Salafiyah, alhamdulillah. And he was very knowledgeable in the sciences of the religion and very knowledgeable in language. Very knowledgeable in language. He knew many languages, and from them, the English language. So he helped him. He helped Dr. Muhsin Khan to translate. So this is the translation of a scholar. The translation of a scholar. And likewise, Dr. Muhsin Khan also, he translated Sahih Bukhari. So to use those translations is very beneficial, and to know them and to use them. It's very beneficial, and to suffice with him, not to go to the other translations. There's deviations in the translations, especially in the creed. Especially in the creed, you'll find deviant interpretations of the Quran with regards to the sifat of Allah Azza wa Jalla, and many of the other translations. As for the translation of Dr. Muhsin Khan, which is known as the Noble Quran. The Noble Quran, this is what it's known as, the Noble Quran. This one, the translation is a translation that is in accordance to the creed of Ahlus Sunnah wal Jama'ah. Alhamdulillah, and it's safe, and it is sound. It is safe and it is sound. So he says here, a man whose heart is attached to the masjid, he offers the five compulsory congregational prayers in the masjid. And many times you'll find these parentheses like this, and Muhsin Khan likewise. And then if you read the tafasir of Tabari, of Ibn Kathir, or Qurtubi, you'll find that is what is related in those tafsir. So he's not making this commentary or translation based upon his own understanding. Rather, it's being referred back to the books of tafsir and the books of hadith. And whenever we read into the interpretation of this hadith, likewise, you will find that many of the people of knowledge, they mention that this is what it means. That this person here, his heart is attached to the masjid, meaning he is someone who is diligent upon performing the obligatory prayers in the masjid. And no, he mentioned, rahimahullah ta'ala, ma'nahu shadidul hubbi laha والملازمة للجماعة فيها وليس معناه دوام القعود في المسجد. He said, rahimahullah, that the meaning is that this person, he strongly loves the masajid. He has strong love for the masajid and he is always holding fast and performing the congregational prayer in the masjid. And it does not mean that he's always sitting in the masjid. It does not mean he's always sitting in the masjid. He's somebody who just sits in the masjid and he does not go to work. He does not take care of his daily requirements. He does not do anything to earn a livelihood for himself and his family. He's just a bum who sits in the masjid thinking that this is a means to draw near to Allah. Like, this is not what is understood here. Rather, a man, he has to come to the masjid and he has to go out into the land and work and earn a living. So it's not praiseworthy to sit in the masjid and to neglect the obligations that is upon a person. And this is not what is intended here. Rather, there's a clarification which is in Sahih Muslim, another wording when the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, وَرَجُلٌ مُعَلَّقٌ بِالْمَسَاجِدِ إِذَا خَرَجَ مِنْهَا حَتَّى يَعُودَ إِلَيْهَا. And a man who's attached to the masajid from the time he leaves until he comes back. And whenever he leaves until he comes back. So he will come to the masjid, establish a congregational prayer. He'll come to the masjid, remember Allah Azza wa Jal, come to the masjid, recite the Quran and make dua and the likes like this, or seek knowledge in the masjid, and then he'll go out through the land. And he'll go out through the land, take care of his business, but even then his heart is still attached to the masjid. In a few hours he's coming back. And he has the intention to come back. And he's ready and waiting to come back. Come back for the next prayer. And the likes like this. And this is how he lives his life. And his heart is attached to the masjid. So the people of Nod, as I mentioned, his heart is attached to the masjid because he's someone who loves salah. He's someone who loves the salah. And he loves to perform it in the congregation. So therefore his heart is attached to the masjid because this is the place for the congregational prayer. And likewise, along with that, the goodness that is found in the masjid from the recitation of the Qur'an and the teaching of the Qur'an and the spreading of the sunnah and the clarification of al-ahkam al-shar'iyyah. All of this is happening in the masajid. This is the place for learning and teaching and the place for benefit and the place for meeting the brothers, those whom one he loves for the sake of Allah, and seeing those noble brothers and getting together in the masjid to worship Allah Azza wa Jal. His heart loves these things. This is why his heart is attached to the masjid. This is why his heart is attached to the masjid. In Sahih Muslim has been narrated by Abu Hurairah radiallahu anhu that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, أَحَبُّ الْبِلَادِ إِلَى اللَّهِ مَسَاجِدُهَا وَأَبْغَضُ الْبِلَادِ إِلَى اللَّهِ أَسْوَاقُهَا. The most beloved of the lands to Allah are the masajid, and the most detestful places in the lands to Allah are the markets. So a person who truly loves Allah, his heart will be attached to that which is beloved to Allah. And from that is the masajid. And this is a sign of sincere faith. And the foundation of faith is to love Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then based upon that, one will love for the sake of Allah and love that which Allah loves. And this is what is coming in the next issue that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he mentioned. So we have here a benefit from Ibn Rajab with regards to this portion here. He says, فَهُوَ يُحِبُّ الْمَسْجِدِ وَيَأْلَفُهُ لِعِبَادِةِ اللَّهِ فِيهِ. So this individual here, he loves the masjid and he has become accustomed to worship Allah in the masjid. And this is his way of life. He loves the masjid and he loves to go there and he loves to perform the obligatory prayers there and he frequents the masjid. And this is how he lives. In the morning, he's in the masjid. In the daytime, he's in the masjid. In the evening, he's in the masjid. And the likes like this. He will leave and come back. He will leave and come back. He will leave and go home and come back. He will leave and go to school and come back. He will leave and go to the market and come back. He will leave and go take care of his business and come back. He will leave and go make money and come back. It's a place that he always returns to. And this is such a beautiful affair because in the masjid, and we're talking about the masjid of the people of the sunnah, in the masajid of the people of the sunnah, you find peace, you find tranquility, you find bright faces, you find people that do not want anything from you except for you to pray with them, except for you to study with them, except for you to be steadfast with them, to remind you of the hereafter, and to correct you when you make a mistake, and to remind you when you forget. This is what the people of the Sunnah, they want for themselves and for each other. So a person, he will find peace and security and safety, he'll find ease and a relief from the problems and the stress of life and the ills of the society. He'll find peace in the masjid. He'll find ease in the masjid. He'll find contentment in the masjid. Alhamdulillah. So To have the heart attached to the masjid has this great, great reward. And it's a sign of a great faith. He says, فَإِذَا خَرَجَ مِنْهُ تَعَلَّقَ قَلْبُهُ بِهِ حَتَّى يَرْجِعَ إِلَيْهِ. If he leaves the masjid, his heart is attached to until he comes back. وَهَذَا إِنَّمَا يَحْصُلُ لِمَنْ مَلَكَ نَفْسَهُ وَقَادَهَا إِلَى طَاعَةِ اللَّهِ فَانْقَادَتْ لَهُ. And this only happens for someone who is ever able to control himself. The only one who's able to do this is someone who has control of his self, and he leads his own soul to the obedience of Allah. And in this manner, his soul complies and obeys Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He says, فَإِنَّ الْهَوَى إِنَّمَا يَدْعُوا إِلَى مَحَبَّةِ مُوَاضِعَ الْهَوَى وَاللَّعِبِ إِنَّمَا يَدْعُوا إِلَى مَحَبَّةِ مُوَاضِعَ الْهَوَى وَاللَّعِبِ. Because desires, remember we're talking about مُخَالَفَةِ الْهَوَى. Because the desires, they only call a person to love the places of desires and the places of entertainment and joking and playing. This is what the desires, the person, his whims call him to go to the places of lahu wa la'ib, with hawa, places of desires, places of whims, places of entertainment, places of fun, and the likes like this. And many times, especially in these lands, especially in these times, these are places that are haram and not allowed. And they are places where things that are displeasing to Allah Azza wa Jal occur. So this person, he has to strive against his soul to avoid that. He says, إِمَّا الْمُبَاحَ أَوَ الْمَحْظُورِ وَمَوَاضِعِ التِّجَارَ وَاكْتِسَابِ الْأَمْوَالِ. And either he's going to, the desires are going to call him to the places of desires and entertainment, either that which is permissible or that which is impermissible, or that which is impermissible, or to the places of business and trade and earning money. And some people, maybe they're not necessarily sinning, but they haven't reached this level. Their hearts are not attached to the masajid, their hearts are attached to the markets, for example, or their hearts are attached to the business, for example, or their hearts are attached to the soccer field, for example, or to the playground, for example, and the likes like this. Their hearts are attached to these affairs. Their hearts are attached to these affairs. They love it. If you start talking about deen or about hadith, it gets heavy for them. They can't listen very long. But if you talk about soccer, they can tell you the stats and the names and the numbers and this and that about individuals all day long, and it doesn't get tired, and their tongue never wears out, and they never get bored. This is because their heart is attached to these affairs. It's for this reason that we see that from the supplication that the Prophet ﷺ, he made most was the statement, huh? Ya muqallib al qulub, O turner of the hearts, thabbit qalbi ala dinik. Make my heart firm upon your deen. Make my heart firm upon your deen, because the heart's going to be firm upon something. If it's not firm upon the deen, loving the truth, it's going to be firm upon falsehood and loving desires. It's going to be firm upon falsehood and loving desires. So this is a supplication that we all should know and learn and call on Allah with in sujood, and between the adhan and the aqamah, and in the nighttime and the daytime, before the rising of the fajr, and the times whenever it's hoped that the supplication will be accepted, and the likes like this, to call on Allah. Ya muqallib al-qulub, thabbit qulubana ala dinik. Ya muqallib al-qulub, thabbit qalbi ala dinik. In this manner like this, making dua for oneself or for one's family or the brothers and sisters and the likes like this, this is a great affair, because the heart is going to be attached to something. So these people here, their hearts were attached to the masjid, and that's because of their love for Allah. That's because of their love for Allah. You understand that? Because the masajid are the places that are built. Yuthkaru fiha ismu. When the name of Allah is mentioned here, and the deen of Allah is established here. And the deen of Allah is established here. So he says, فَلَا يَقْصُرُ نَفْسُهُ عَلَى مَحَبَّةِ بِقَاعَ الْعِبَادَةِ إِلَّا مَنْ خَالَفَ هَوَاهُ فَقَدَّمَ عَلَيْهِ مَحَبَّةَ مَوْلَهُ. That no one is able to restrict or confine himself to the love of the places of worship, except for the one who opposes his desires, and he shows preference to the love of his Lord. To the love of his Lord. And this is a great blessing and favor for those who love to be in the masajid, while the people there in the street, while the people there in the market, while the people, waliyadu billah, they're in the bars, while the people there in the movies, waliyadu billah, or in these other places where there are lowly actions that are happening with lewdness and misguidance and speech and in action. Waliyadu billah, the believers, those who have been given success, they're in the masjid. They're in the masjid, gathering with the believers, studying the deen of Allah Azza wa Jal, and the likes like this, or sitting in the circles of knowledge, alhamdulillah, while the people of the dunya, they're preoccupied with the dunya, and while the people of sins are engulfed in their sins, Allah has selected a few of His slaves to be grateful and to be in the masajid, and in the places of worship. So the masajid is the prod of masjid. Al-masajid is the prod of masjid. So the masjid is the place of, and linguistically, mawdi' al-sujud, or makan al-sujud. It's the place for sujud. So there's a benefit here. I used to hear from Shaykhuna, Shaykh Abdul Muhsin, hafidhahullah, that these places of worship, they're called masajid. What is intended? Mawadi' al-salah. The masajid, what are they? Amakin al-salah. They're the places for Salah. So the masajid, their place is for Salah. This is the origin, they're built to establish Salah. But Salah has many different parts. Sujood is one of them. Also there's Ruku', right? Also there's Wukuf, standing. So they're not called Mawaqif, the places of standing. And even maybe sometimes you stand longer than you prostrate. And also there's in the Salah, there's also the Ruku', and they're not called Maraki', they're not called Maraki', the places of Ruku'. They're not called Mawaqif, the places of standing. They're not called Maraki', the places of bowing. They're called Masajid, the places of Sujood. This is indication of the virtue of this action of worship. This is from the greatest aspects of showing sincere devotion, servitude, and submission. And so they're places of Salat. And from the best aspect of Salat, with the most humble and noble aspect of Salat, is that a person, he will bow down, put his face on the ground before Allah Azza wa Jal. He'll put his face on the ground before Allah Azza wa Jal. That which is high and lofty, his head and his back, his head and his back and his shoulders, this is the high part of his body. But whenever he goes into sujood, he puts that which is normally high, low. And his bottom and the likes, this is his low part of his body. But whenever he goes to the sujood, this part becomes high. And so this is a state of complete humbleness. A complete humbleness. So we must remember that. This is from the greatest means of submission and humbleness. So therefore we must be in a state of submission and humbleness in our hearts whenever we make sujood. Whenever we make sujood. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, أَقْرَبُ مَا يُكُونُ الْعَبْدُ مِنْ رَبِّهِ وَهُوَ سَاجِدُ. The closest a slave will be to his Lord is whenever he's prostrating. So the point is to remind myself and you that sometimes whenever we prostrate, we're thinking about the dunya. But this is the most humble position that you could put yourself into. But if the body is humbling itself in this manner, but the heart is still full of the dunya and not even remembering Allah Azza wa Jal, then the benefit will be little or nothing. Will be little or nothing. So one, he has to prostrate with his body and also submit and surrender with his heart. Submit and surrender with his heart. In this manner, the prayer comes to life. In this manner, the prayer comes to life. So a man whose heart is attached to the masjid, and because he loves the Salah, and this means that he loves Allah. He loves to worship Allah. He loves to establish the obligations of Allah. He loves to keep himself chaste, free from the fitna of this life. He loves to seek knowledge and study. He loves to be around the believers. And because he has a love for his deen. Because he has a love for his deen. After this, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, وَرَجُلَانِ تَحَابَّا فِي اللَّهِ اجْتَمَعَا عَلَيْهِ وَتَفَرَّقَا عَلَيْهِ. Two men, two people, it's two men here, right? وَرَجُلَانِ, two men. Well, you see how he translated it, two people. There was a benefit from there likewise, right? Because the people of knowledge, they say that men, the male is not intended here. The male is not intended here, like any specifically, whether it is included as well, a woman. So a person, two people who love each other only for the sake of Allah. They meet and they part in His cause only. They meet and they part in His cause only. It has been collected by Tirmidhi and Al-Imam Ahmed with a chain that is authentic from the hadith of Mu'adh ibn Jabal radiyallahu anhu, that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, قال الله تعالى. What kind of hadith is that? Ahsanta. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Allah says. Allah says. Hada is called hadith and Qudsi. It's yani whenever the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam narrates something and ascribes that narration to Allah Azza wa Jal. So he's saying here, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that Allah Azza wa Jal, he says, Al-mutahabbuna fi jalali lahum manabir. Lahum manabiru min nur yaghbituhum an-nabiyyun wa shuhada. That those people who love each other for my majesty, love each other in my majesty, they have podiums of light, and the prophets and the martyrs will have ghibta for them on the day of resurrection. Yani they'll be happy for them. And ghibta is whenever a person sees somebody having goodness and they would like to have the same as them. But they'll be happy for them. They'll not be jealous, wishing that their blessing will be removed, or they will not have a problem. And their heart, they have the blessing. But whenever one, he sees somebody have some good from the deen or the dunya, and then he's happy for that, and he would like to have the same thing. He would like to have the same thing without having any animosity in his heart. This is allowed. It's called ghibta. It's not hasid. We understand that? So if you see somebody who memorized the whole Quran, you say, Allahu Akbar, Alhamdulillah, I want to memorize the whole Quran. Alhamdulillah, may Allah bless him. I want to memorize the whole Quran. This is good. So you're happy for him. You're happy for him and you like to do like him likewise. So this is something that's good. This is something that's good. So here, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is saying that Allah said that those people who love each other, fi jalali, and fi jalalillah, those people who love each other in the majesty of Allah azza wa jal, they will be on podiums of light. And the prophets and the martyrs, they will be happy for them in this manner with ghibta. Like, oh, they have a virtue, recognizing their great virtue in this manner like this. So this is a great encouragement. A great encouragement. And mentioning that these people that have this lofty status, mentioning that these people have this lofty rank, this is a great encouragement for those who hear to strive to be like them. Remember this, we're learning about these attributes and traits of goodness so that we can strive to be like them. So that we can strive to be like them. The people of knowledge, they mention here that this is the indication that these people in their hearts, and the narration says, المتحابون في جلالي. And those who love each other, fi jalali, in my majesty, and for my majesty. And it had a tanbi'un ala ana fi qulubihim min ijlali lahi wa ta'zimihi ma tahabbi fihi. This is they love each other for the sake of Allah. They love each other in the reverence of Allah, meaning that their hearts were full of the reverence of Allah. Their hearts are full of the love of Allah. Their hearts are full of the glorification of Allah Azza wa Jal and reverence for Allah Azza wa Jal. That's why they love each other for the sake of Allah. That's why they love each other for the sake of Allah. So loving each other here in this manner for the sake of Allah, this stems from a great fundamental. That is the asr of that, and that is loving Allah Azza wa Jal. That is loving Allah Azza wa Jal. So the one who truly loves Allah Azza wa Jal, he will love for the sake of Allah. And this is why they have this great status, because they love for the sake of Allah, not for the sake of their soul, not for the sake of a worldly benefit, not for the sake of anything else, only because he's obedient to Allah, only because he is steadfast upon the sunnah. This is the reason why, this is what it means to love him for the sake of Allah, because what is apparent from him is that he strives to obey Allah Azza wa Jal. What is apparent from him, he strives to hold fast to the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. What is apparent from him, he's somebody who loves Allah and his messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So he loves him for that. He sees that, he recognizes that from him, and he loves him for that trait and quality. Not because he has money, not because he's nice to him, not because of a position he can get with him and the likes like this, not because he has a daughter, not because, but because he is apparently obedient to Allah Azza wa Jal. So he loves him before his obedience. So therefore this love will fluctuate. The more we see from someone to be obedient and beneficial and steadfast in the deen of Allah Azza wa Jal, the more we will love them. The more we will love them. So those whom we love the most, the people of knowledge. The people of knowledge, because they are the closest, they are the highest in this affair. The true scholars and people of knowledge of the sunnah, they are the best of the people. So therefore the believers, they love them. They love them and they love the individuals accordingly. So in this manner, whenever a person he loves for the sake of Allah to this extent, and he loves an individual in this manner, then likewise he will love the deen of Allah and the limits of Allah. The deen of Allah and the limits of Allah, and he will be somebody who is maintaining the limits of Allah Azza wa Jal. He is somebody who is maintaining the limits of Allah Azza wa Jal. It's been collected by Abu Dawood and Imam Ahmad from the Hadith of Anas that he said, أَنَّ رَجُلٌ كَانَ عِنْدَ النَّبِيِّ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ فَمَرَّ بِهِ رَجُلٌ فَقَالَ يَا رَسُولَ اللَّهِ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ إِنِّي لَأُحِبُّ. Anas, he said that there was a man with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and then another man he passed by, and the first man he said, O Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, indeed I love that man. Qala a'lamtahu, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, a'lamtahu, did you tell him, did you inform him? Qala la, he said, no, I did not inform him. Qala a'limhu, he said, go tell him. Qala falahiqahu faqala inni uhibbuka fillah, so he went and caught up with him and he said, indeed I love you for the sake of Allah. فَقَالَ أَحَبَّكَ الَّذِي أَحْبَبْتَنِ اللَّهِ. So the man told him, may the one you love me for love you. May the one you love me for love you. It has been narrated as well from the hadith of Al-Miqdam ibn Ma'di Kariba in Sunan Abi Dawood that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, إِذَا أَحَبَّ الرَّجُلُ أَخَاهُ فَلْيُخْبِرُهُ أَنَّهُ يُحِبُّهُ. That if a man he loves his brother, then let him inform him that he loves him. then let him inform him that he loves him. Yani if he loves him for the sake of Allah, this is what is intended, then let him inform him. So this is a good way. Whenever a person, he sees his brother for the sake of Allah, that he loves truly for the sake of Allah, he will say to him, Ya akhi, uhibbuka fillah. Uhibbuka fillah. I love you for the sake of Allah. And this is a means to keep the bond strong and to keep the love strong. And whenever it's mentioned, here the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is saying that if you love somebody, if you love your brother for the sake of Allah, then go tell him. Then you should tell him, and he should know that from you. If you truly feel in your heart that you love that man for the sake of Allah, you should tell him, brother, I love you for the sake of Allah. Jazakallah khair. The fruits that come from this, that anytime anything happens, for example, maybe that same brother, one time you'll catch him and he is negligent, or he's heedless, or he's forgetful, or he needs advice, and the likes like this. And you have already informed him previously that you love him for the sake of Allah, and he knows that you want good for him and you don't have no problems with him. Right? Brother, he knows what you told him, that you love him for the sake of Allah. So now if you advise him, now if you direct him, now if you correct him, now if you remind him, now if you admonish him, he's going to accept that from you. He's going to accept that from you. And likewise, the bonds are going to keep the religion strong. The religion strong. So whenever the brothers, they're unified, you know, upon the truth, upon the haq, not upon batil, not upon falsehood, not upon desires, not upon, whenever they're unified upon the sunnah, when they're unified upon the correct creed and methodology and way, alhamdulillah, and they don't have any problems in their hearts towards each other, the religion becomes strong in the society. And and the deen becomes strong in the hearts of the people and the families, and it spreads. And it spreads. But whenever the believers are fighting at each other's throats and the likes like this for petty affairs, for worldly affairs, and even worse, whenever they decorate it like it's a religious affair, but really it's something personal, this is a problem. This is a problem. So we're commanded to avoid that. And from that is that we inform the brothers that we love for the sake of Allah, that we love him for the sake of Allah, to keep that bond strong and to stay away from any dissension and separation in heart feelings in the heart. You understand that? This is something that's a principle in the deen. Yani al-ijtima' al-haq, to be united together, to be united together upon the truth. Many things in the worldly life are forbidden in order to preserve unity. If somebody's buying something, you can't go try to buy it from him at a higher price in the middle of that, or say I got it cheaper, and the likes like this. So if a man, he's looking to marry a woman, another man can't ask for her hand at the same time unless that person already backed down. All of these things here are prohibitions that are established to keep the love, and in order to avoid having animosity and separation and dissension in the ranks of the believers, So from that here, that a person who will say, I love you for the sake of Allah. And this is a high, high and lofty status. These people here, they have a high, high and lofty status. They're from the seven. Why? Because they love each other for the sake of Allah. They don't want anything from each other. All they want from each other is to remind to each other, to cooperate with each other, to help each other, to pray together, to spread the da'wah, to be reminded, to get advice, to be admonished. And the likes like this, this is all that they want from each other, alhamdulillah. They don't want money from each other, this is not what they're looking for. This is not what they're looking for. Their love is for the sake of Allah. This is a high and lofty status. Ibn Rajab, he says, فَالْمُتَحَابَّانِ فِي اللَّهِ جَاهَدَا أَنفُسَهُمَا فِي مُخَالَفَةِ الْهَوَى حَتَّى صَارَ تحابهما وتوادهما في الله من غير غرض دنيوي يشوبه وهذا عزيز جدا. He said that the two people who love each other for the sake of Allah, they're striving against their souls to oppose their desires, so much so that until they love each other sincerely and they have fondness and a relationship sincerely for each other, they have a relationship with each other sincerely, purely only for the sake of Allah, not for any worldly affair that corrupts it. No worldly affair is in this love corrupting it or mixing with it. It's not mixed up with anything else. It's just sincerely for the sake of Allah. And he says, وَهَذَا عَزِيزٌ جِدًّا. And this is very rare. Very rare where you find somebody that truly loves you for the sake of Allah. If you find somebody that you believe truly loves for you for the sake of Allah, you thank Allah Azza wa Jal, and you hold on fast to that person. And you try your best to keep that bond good and not to violate the rights of that person. This person here is a great favor and blessing. And especially in these days, الشيء بالشيء يذكر. I remember something now. And when I first accepted Islam, I'm talking about, because in these days, right? هذا عزيز جدا لا سيما في هذه الأيام. Especially in these days. I'm an American, right? So I grew up in America in disbelief. And whenever I first accepted Islam, I noticed these people, they're so nice to me. They're so nice to me. These brothers in the masjid, may Allah reward them, they're so nice to me, and I was scared of them. I was like, why are they so nice? What do they want? Because where I'm from, if people are this nice to you, it's not real. If somebody's really, like, they were extra kind. They give me money, they take me to eat, they call me and check on me, they want to come pick me up at my mom's house. It's too much. This is not normal from where I'm coming from. Where I'm coming from, people who do this like these things like this to you, you're just waiting for them to drop the line. Oh, that's what he wanted the whole time. But they didn't want anything. They just wanted me to accept Islam. So the point is, alhamdulillah, you find somebody who is true, he's sincere, he's your brother for the sake of Allah Azza wa Jal. That doesn't mean he doesn't have any faults. Doesn't mean you agree with everything he says. That doesn't mean you never have any disputes between. Nah, but it's for the sake, you love him for the sake of Allah. Even if you disagree with him, it's not going to separate that love. Alhamdulillah, because you love him for the sake of Allah Azza wa Jal. You love him for that. Maybe some things you agree, maybe some things you don't disagree. I mean, in the worldly affairs, in the worldly life, or some different opinions and the likes like this, or even in some fiqh issues. This person, he believes that the one who leaves the prayer is a disbeliever. This one, he doesn't necessarily believe that. This is not going to cause them to separate and hate each other, because the scholars before us, they disagreed about this. It's not a, this is, there's issue, there's an area in here for them to, for disagreement in this issue. So with that, each one will respect each other's opinion and know he's not following his desires, he's looking for the truth, alhamdulillah. So the point is to love people for the sake of Allah. And this requires for you to hate people for the sake of Allah. This requires for you to hate people for the sake of Allah. And if this issue here is very important, and it has been touched on. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he mentioned this issue in a number of narrations. From that is what is collected by Imam Ahmed. This is from the hadith of Abdullah ibn Umar radiyallahu anhuma. He said sallallahu alaihi wasallam, walladhi nafsu Muhammadin bi yadihi ma tawadda ithnani fa furriqa baynahuma illa bi dhanbin yuhdithuhu ahaduhuma. That the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, I said, I swear by the one whom Muhammad's soul is in his hands, that there's never two people who love each other, any meaning for the sake of Allah, and then they become divided except because one of them had perpetrated a sin. Except one of them had perpetrated sin. And two brothers, they used to love each other, literally for the sake of Allah. Whenever this one comes, like, hey, where's so-and-so? Whenever that one comes, you say, where's so-and-so? Whenever you see this one, you think of that one. When you see that one, you think of this one. And if they're brothers for the sake of Allah, always together. And then something after sometimes happens and you find that they're split up. And you find that they have problems or animosity, or this one goes that way and that one goes this way. And before, they always came together. But for some reason now they're split up. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said that you'll never find this happen except because one of them committed a sin. So if we see the likes of this in our life, what should we do? Make istighfar, ahsanta. What should we do? Accuse our other brother of making sin? No, you should accuse yourself. Huh? You accuse yourself of making sin. Some people, they may say that, oh, he probably sinned. A'udhu billah, this is a sign most likely he's the problem, right? The one who blames everybody else. No, he must have made a sin, that's why we're split up. A'udhu billah. Huh? Astaghfirullah. La, a person, a believer, he always accuses himself. He always accuses himself and look for an excuse for his brother. So long as that's possible. So a person, if this happens, if he's seen this happening, then he will seek forgiveness. This is from the ills of sins. And the Salaf, they used to recognize the effects of their sins in their family and in their riding animals. This has been narrated from the Salaf. One of them would say that I would realize the foul outcome, the foul evil effects of my sins in my wife, in my family, and in my riding animal. And he meaning that he would come home and there would be problems in his house. And then and there's not peace and comfort. It's not happiness and joy. It's not, you know, they're not getting along. They're fighting, they're quarreling, there's problems and likes like this. And then he would leave and realize that this is from his sins. And he would go and seek forgiveness and beg Allah to forgive him and come home and the affair will be fixed. And this is the case. And his sins cause problems in our life. This is the point. Or maybe like his riding animal, for example, normally it's very submissive. You just throw the stuff on and he rides off. But for some reason, all of a sudden, he doesn't want to let you put anything on his back. Or all of a sudden, he doesn't want to ride. Tell him to go, he doesn't go anywhere.
We tell him to stop. He doesn't want to stop. He doesn't listen. And he becomes rebellious and the likes like this. This is because of sins. One of them, he would realize this. He wouldn't be like, what's wrong with this woman? Oh, man, this woman is disobedient. This woman. Or this, what's wrong with this animal? One of them, he would say, Astaghfirullah, what's wrong with me? Astaghfirullah, this must be because I disobey Allah Azza wa Jal. This must be because of my sins. So they will look to their self first. They'll look to their self first and seek forgiveness. Seek forgiveness and ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to pardon them. And then also ask Allah to rectify the affairs. To rectify the affairs. And bi'idhnillahi ta'ala, Allah Azza wa Jal, he will respond. And bi'idhnillahi ta'ala, Allahu Azza wa Jal will respond. So this issue here about loving for the sake of Allah, this is a subsidiary issue. And it stems from the base. What is the base? What is the fundamental? To love Allah Azza wa Jal. To love Allah Azza wa Jal. This is the fruit of loving Allah Azza wa Jal. This is from the fruit of loving Allah Azza wa Jal. That one he will love another for the sake of Allah Azza wa Jal. They will gather together in the cause of Allah, and they will separate in the cause of Allah. This is how they come together, and this is how they depart each other. Any for the sake of Allah. Whatever they're doing it together for the sake of Allah. And whenever they leave, they're upon the same path. This is what has been mentioned. Or that they come together for the sake of Allah and they remain that way until they die. No worldly affair ever comes in between them. اجتمعَ عليهِ وتفرقَ عليهِ اجتمعَ عليهِ في الحياة وتفرقَ عليهِ يعني this love استمرت إلى الدنيا. No worldly problem ever came between them until they separated. You understand that? This is from the meaning of this likewise. Another meaning as well, the people of knowledge mentioned that they came together for the sake of Allah, and they divided and separated for the sake of Allah. And with regards to this, the salaf, they would say, إِذَا أَحْبَبْتَ رَجُلًا فِي اللَّهِ ثُمَّ أَحْدَثَ حَدَثًا فَلَمْ تُبْغِضْهُ فِي اللَّهِ فَإِنَّكَ مَا أَحْبَبْتَهُ لِلَّهِ. That if you love a person for the sake of Allah, and then he committed an innovation, or he performed some foul and lowly action, like some major sin and the likes like this, he violated the legislation, and he went astray, and then at that time you did not despise him for the sake of Allah, you never loved him for the sake of Allah. We understand this part? If you love someone for the sake of Allah, and then that person deviated and went and fell into innovation, or this person deviated and he fell into major sin, apparent sin, and the likes like this, and then if you didn't start to despise him for the sake of Allah, then you never really loved him for the sake of Allah. Why is that? Because you love what Allah loves and you hate what Allah hates. So you love him because Allah loves him. What's apparent is that he's from those people who are beloved to Allah from his outward obedience. From his outward obedience and holding fast to the sunnah and loving the way of the salaf. So therefore you love him for that. You love him. So if that was really the reason why you loved him, if he opposed that way, now you would not love him anymore. But if you did not, if he opposed that way, and now it doesn't affect you, you still love him the same, then this is a sign that you are not sincere in that love. You love him for something else. Because the reason that you're supposed to have loved him before is gone now, and you still love him. You understand that? Because the reason for loving before was for the sake of Allah, and for his obedience to Allah. But now he left the obedience of Allah. So now that love is supposed to go away too. Or he left the sunnah of the Prophet. So now that love is supposed to go away too. But here it didn't go away, it stayed. So that means you love him for another reason. So this is another meaning that's mentioned here, that they gather in this manner and they separate in this manner. And so long as both of them are upon the straight path and he's striving, doesn't mean a person, he never sins. But it's a difference between being an open sinner and preferring that way, becoming deviant in sin. And likewise, a difference between somebody having a misunderstanding and then being directed, and somebody choosing a deviated way from the Ikhwan Muslimun or the Khawarij and the likes like this, and being upon that way. Now he left the path. So no doubt there's ways to deal with these issues, but this is the point here, that these people, they love each other for the sake of Allah. And so long as that reason is there, then that love remains. If that reason is gone, that love goes away. And that's easy for someone who is sincere. So this love begins by loving Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah, he mentioned in his book, قُلْ إِن كُنْتُمْ تُحِبُّونَ اللَّهَ فَاتَّبِعُونِي يُحْبِبْكُمُ اللَّهِ. Say to them, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, if you truly love Allah, then follow me, and then Allah will love you. This verse is known as ayatu al-imtihan, the ayat of the test, because there are individuals claiming that they love Allah, and so Allah, He tested them with this verse. And so Allah, He tested them with this verse. Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah, he says, rahimahullahu ta'ala, about this verse, فَاتِبَعُ سُنَّةِ رَسُولِهِ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَمْ وَشِّرِيَاتِهِ بَاطِنًا وَظَاهِرًا هُوَ مُوجِبٌ لِمَحَبَّةِ اللَّهِ كَمَا أَنَّ الْجِهَادَ فِي سَبِيلِهِ مُوَالَاتَ أَوْلِيَائِهِ وَمُعَادَاتَ أَعْدَائِهِ هُوَ حَقِيقَتُهَا كَمَا فِي الْحَدِيثِ إِنَّ أَوْثَقَ قُرَى الْإِيمَانِ الْحُبُّ فِي اللَّهِ وَالْبُغْضُ فِي اللَّهِ وَفِي الْحَدِيثِ مَنْ أَحَبَّ لِلَّهِ وَأَبْغَضَ لِلَّهِ وَأَعْطَى لِلَّهِ وَمَنَعَ لِلَّهِ فَقَدِ اسْتَكْمَلَ الْإِيمَانَ. That following the sunnah of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam and his legislation inwardly and outwardly, this is what will necessitate and bring about for a person the love of Allah. The love of Allah. How will a person obtain the love of Allah? By holding fast to the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam and following the laws and legal ways that were revealed to him, that which he was upon. There's no other way. There's no other way to obtain the love of Allah. To obtain the قُلْ إِن كُنْتُمْ تُحِبُّونَ اللَّهَ فَاتَّبِعُونِي. Say to them, if you love Allah, then follow me. يُحْبِبْكُمْ اللَّهَ. Then Allah will love you. So if you do not follow the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, Allah will not love you. Allah will not love you. So in order for Allah to love us, we must follow the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And we can all claim that we love Allah, and every believer, he loves Allah, and Allah, he loves every believer, no doubt. No doubt. But the love of each believer for Allah, it varies. And the love of Allah for each believer is different. Allah, he loves some more than he loves others. Subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah, he loves some more than he loves others. And it's not important. What's not truly important is that you love him, but rather that you are loved. Any meaning that Allah, he loves you. What's important, that you love Allah or that Allah loves you? That Allah loves you. That's why some of the scholars, they say, لَيْسَ الشَّأْنُ أَن تُحِبْ إِنَّمَا الشَّأْنُ أَن تُحَبْ. It's not important that you love, but rather what is the true affair is that you are loved. لَيْسَ الشَّأْنُ أَن تُحِبْ إِنَّمَا الشَّأْنُ أَن تُحَبْ. It's not, the affair is not about you loving, but rather about you being loved. About you being loved. And Allah, He will not love us until we follow His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And He says a great benefit here, and just as striving in the path of Allah, and just as taking an allegiance for the true believers of Allah, and having enmity for the enemies of Allah, is the reality of that love. Is the reality of that love. The reality of loving Allah Azza wa Jalla, of Allah Azza wa Jalla, is striving in His path. Striving in His path. And we've seen that the greatest striving is striving upon obedience. And mujahid man jahada nafsahu fi ta'ati Allah. So the one who truly loves Allah, he will strive against his soul to obey Allah. That's the reality of love. He will strive against his soul to obey Allah. And also from the clear reality that he truly loves Allah, he will love the awliya of Allah. He will love for the sake of Allah. He will love those whom Allah loves. He will love the believers, especially those who are firm upon the deen. He will love the believers, especially those who are firm on the deen. And he will dislike the disbelievers and those who are in contradiction to the deen. He will dislike them. And he will have enmity for them. He will not be friends with them. They will not be his companions. They will not be his partners. They will not be the people that he hangs around and that he imitates and wants to be like. Rather, he would want to be like the believers, like those who are righteous, those who are pious. He would have role models who are upright and noble from the people of knowledge and the likes like this, not from the low lives, not from the low lives, from the disbelievers and the disobedient. So he mentioned the narration that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Awthaq urul iman al-hubbu fillahi wal-bughdu fillah." That the strongest handhold of faith is to love for the sake of Allah and to hate for the sake of Allah. And in another narration, "Man ahabba lillahi wa abghada lillah." مَنَ أَحَبَّ لِلَّهِ وَأَبْغَضَ لِلَّهِ وَأَعْطَى لِلَّهِ وَمَنَعَ لِلَّهِ فَقَدْ اسْتَكْمَلَ الْإِيمَانَ. That whoever loves for the sake of Allah, and he hates for the sake of Allah, and he gives for the sake of Allah, and he withholds for the sake of Allah, then he has completed the faith. Then he has completed the faith. So therefore, from the completion of the faith is to love for the sake of Allah, and to hate for the sake of Allah. And this love and this hate, this is checked by the reins of the legislation, and it's not by desires. And it's not by desires. Some people, they claim to have love for Allah and the deen of Allah and hate for the disbelievers, and then they violate the rights that Allah has given the disbelievers. وَلِيَذُ بِاللَّهِ. And they commit actions of terrorism, and they shed the blood of people who have contracts and who have peace treaties and who are innocent civilians and the likes like this. And this is wrong. and this is wrong. Or others, they say, oh, he's a disbeliever, so we can rob him, or we can cheat him, or we can lie to him and take his money unlawfully. Look, this is wrong. Islam is a religion of justice. It's not a religion of desires. So even if a person, he has hatred, this hatred will not carry him to violate the rights that Allah has given them. La, this hatred will be checked by the legislation. Will be checked by the legislation. Even the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he was just in dealing with the Jews that lived in his city with him. In the city with him, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he did not violate their rights. He did not violate the contracts. He did not shed the blood unlawfully. He did not cheat or lie to the people, sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So likewise, we cannot do the same. So people should not misunderstand this issue. Loving for the sake of Allah and hating for the sake of Allah is a great fundamental and principle, but it must be understood in the light of the Quran and the Sunnah and the understanding of the Salaf of this Ummah. And it must be checked by the reins of the legislation. It must be checked by the reins of the legislation, not by desires. Not by desires and not by whims. Not by desires and not by whims. هذا وصلى الله على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم.